It would still work if it weren't up there. And he pointed towards Hinterkaifeck. I'm Acadia Einstein, and this is Strangeful Things.
Unsolved, unresolved, and super complicated.
Strangeful Things.
Welcome, everybody, to Strangeful Things. I'm here with not Shuey, because guess what? Shuey can't stop getting fucking coronavirus, and he has it again. So, subbing in this week is the one, the only, Hannah Selector. Hi, Hannah.
Hey, hey. Should I say Hinterkaifeck?
Yes. You may know Hannah Selector from such marvelous podcasts as Castle Rock Historical Society and what the hell is the other one?
I did Undead Air.
Yeah, Undead Airlock. I'll cut the part where I didn't know out of it.
No, that's funny. Leave it in.
I'm really, really glad you're here, mainly because I've been telling you you should be on the show for like a long time. And then you were like, no, fuck you. And I was like, fine. But now I guilted you into it and I had to give Shuey a deadly disease.
Yeah, you can thank Typhoid Shuey for that. Of course, he's not out purposely giving other people corona as far as we know. So
no.
And I hope he feels better.
You know what? I just talked a little bit ago and he said, have a good show. I'm in bed. And I need to know the next part. He could have just said, have a good show, and left it. So,
brag.
Yeah, I know, right? Weird flex, but okay. Bed at 9 o'clock. So we're going to talk about the Hinterkaifeck murders. Although, are they murders? Technically, we don't know. Because they don't call it a murder if a monster attacks you.
Hmm.
And Hinterkaifeck is a little place in rural Germany. And I found out that Hinter just means behind. So,
behind Kaifeck.
Yeah. And so Hinterlands is just the back 40, I guess. And then I thought, well, there must be a town named Kaifeck then. But then I got bored. But then I found the biggest town that was nearby was called Wangen. So
there is no Kaifeck. Kaifeck just means something. Does it mean like hill or something like that? Like behind a hill or?
It must mean horrible farm of horrors.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of because I have so many fucking browser tabs open right now that if I try to pop open another Google Translate, the whole thing's going to fall apart. This is all in Germany. It's a German story. It happened in 1922. As a matter of fact, if you're listening to this close to when it comes out, it occurred on March 31st, 1922, 1 year and 1 month ago, approximately.
Oh, creepy.
I mean, 100 years and 1 month ago.
Yeah.
Big anniversary that I didn't know about because I didn't know about the story, but now I do, so whatever. And if you're listening to it in the future, then it doesn't matter. So it's a mystery. Technically, it's a mystery. And because there are very inexplicable things in the case that we will go through, I decided that I was going to say, well, wait a minute, what kind of German monsters are there? Because everybody always jumps to the human when there could be a monster at play.
See, I was going to rock up on the show with my theory that Krampus did it, but...
Krampus was on the list.
Ha!
I didn't expand on Krampus, although he does have... There's another dude that is like fucking St. Nicholas's friend, Necht Ruprecht.
Mm.
I don't think it was him either. It could have been the Aufhocker. The Aufhocker is described in German. It's an unidentifiable shape because it could be a goblin, a beautiful woman, a dead man, or some kind of animal. And Aufhocker means leap upon, and they called it that because basically this monster would just jump on people's backs.
And
fuck them up.
I don't like it.
Well, the beer wolf is just a cooler name for werewolf. They do have neat names. Bilwis is a cool name. Feldgeister is a cool name. The one I think actually did it though is okay. So wait, there is the Totsel worm, which is also a funny name. That's a lizard-like creature.
Oh, worm, like WYRM. Got it.
It's you in this, because it's German, but the Totsel worm is a serpent body with a cat face with little tiny legs. So what
I would kill one.
Yeah, but I'd kill people too if that was me. I can't. Basically, it's a wiener dog with a cat face, but it's a snake.
I love it. It didn't do it. It's innocent. So.
Well, here's who did do it.
All right.
In honor of the deer grackles, past of Strangeville Things, the knock crop, which means night raven.
Mm-hmm.
The knock crop is a giant nocturnal raven-like bird. It has no eyes, because if you looked into its eyes, you would die.
Okay.
So I guess if you look into its head holes, you die.
How can I look into them and die if it doesn't have them?
It has holes in its wings, and if you look at them, you get sick and die. And it leaves its hiding place at night to hunt. And if a little child sees it, it grabs them, brings it to its nest, and messily devours it.
What happens if you look into its cloaca?
Ooh. Then you have to marry it.
Mm.
And you have to become Mr. or Mrs. Knocked Crop.
Mm.
So.
Not worth it. Look in the head holes.
Yeah. Right in the head holes. Get it over with quick.
Yep.
None of the back end parts. Also, don't get caught by a weirder gunger, which I don't know what it is, but it was a fun name. All right.
Yeah.
Now we're going to say, so now that we know that this is a crime committed by a terrifying German monster, we'll tell the actual story. In the 1920s, there was a farmstead, and it was called Hinterkaifeck.
Very original.
There were a bunch of people that lived there. There was the Gruber family, which was the father, Andreas, who was 63. We don't like him. His wife, Kazilla, or Kazilia? I'm going to say Kazilla. She was 72.
Get it, Kazilla.
Right? Their daughter, Victoria, was 35. She was a widow. Or was she? And she had two kids, one also named Kazilla, and then who was 7, and then Joseph, who was 2. Mm-hmm. And then they also had a maid. So being a farmer is apparently hard enough work that you need a maid, but well-paying enough that you can get a maid.
Yeah.
So.
Things are not so great for farmers nowadays, for the most part, I think.
No. I think it's either you're in a giant, giant thing that you're so far away from the actual farming part that it doesn't matter.
Robot farm.
Yeah, or you have a hard time all day, every day. So as far as the family dynamic is concerned, Andreas was a gross scumbag.
I feel like all husbands before the 1950s were bad, possibly into the 1950s.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah.
In 1915, he was ratted out for incest with his daughter, Victoria. And according to the records, he went to jail for a year and she went to jail for a month. I don't know.
Okay. Hashtag free Victoria, first of all.
So she was married and her husband had to go off and fight in World War I because World War I, and they were the bad guys. So it was probably harder for them. And he never came back. And then there's all this shit going on. Except the problem with it is that the dates don't really match up, because I really thought that World War I was like 1918, but maybe that's just when America got in it and I'm an idiot. But whatever it was, they went to incest court and lost.
So just to be clear, the kid who is named after the grandmother is not the product of said incestuous relationship, one would hope, right?
The dates do match up, though.
Barf!
Don't they just? So
German word for barf.
Yep, the father and the grandfather at the same time.
Gross. That's not funny. I'm sorry. I can't help laughing. That's gross.
That's what we do here, though, so that's
funny. Yeah.
I mean, where are you going to go? You can't marry Tyler Moritz if it's fucking 1922 in Germany. You can't do anything. You got to stay where you are in your weird farm. Except the maid was like, hey, this fucking farm is haunted. And they're like, what are you talking about? And she's like,
yeah, it's haunted by a fucking sex criminal.
Well, yeah, but she kept hearing tapping in the walls. I don't think he was just running around thumping things with his dick.
I'm not ruling it out.
No, that's true, too.
He's creeping in the attic and looking through the floorboards. I don't know.
It's funny that you said attic, because she said there was stuff up in the attic, and he's like, there's nothing in the attic. And he kept going up there, and the maid kept going, well, I keep fucking hearing it. There's something in this house. And he's, yeah, you're crazy. And she was like, you got to get rid of it. You got to search the whole house. So he kept looking and never found anything. So then it kind of became like, stop saying that the house is haunted because nobody believes you because we don't hear anything. And I keep going up in the attic and there's nothing in the attic except probably my fucking time traveling incest porn site, because that's all that exists now. And the maid said, well, you know what? Fuck this job. Fuck this
good
job
for her.
And the ghosts. I'm leaving. And they're like, what do you mean? And she's like, yeah, I'm leaving. And they're like, where are you going to go? It's fucking 1922 Germany. We lost the war. What are you going to do? And she's like, not stay here with the fucking ghost or the fucking raven monster. So get out. And she leaves. And the family is like, well, now we're kind of fucked because we had a maid for a reason. It wasn't like we were the Bradys who just had a maid kind of because we were rich. Like, they didn't have Alice. They had, here, lady, do all our shit because we're too busy, I don't know, moving pigs around from where they are farming to where they need to be and other various farm shit.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, no, I'm sick of the tapping. I'm sick of all this shit. I'm leaving. And they were very, very busy. They got busy and it was 6 months of fucking hell. They couldn't find anybody. Not because there was like a big rumor that the place was haunted. Probably because they got one look at fucking Andreas and was like, nope. He looks like a wall dick banger. I'm not coming in there.
Or it's just like really remote and nobody wants to work there.
Then the Grubers started going, well, fuck us, because now we're hearing weird shit, just like the maid said. Now, I don't know why they wouldn't hear it until after the maid left. Maybe the maid's complaining was so loud that she drowned out the sounds of the actual tapping. So that when she was gone, they're like, oh, now finally peace and quiet. Oh, fuck, there is something rapping on it. And sure as shit, it sounded like there was somebody in the house. Now, apparently their attic, which is suspicious in itself, was completely empty. There was nothing up there. Who the fuck do you think you are, Mr. Farmer, to have a storage area that's not completely filled with shit?
Right.
I don't like that.
Keep in mind, nobody had anything at this time. You had like one pair of shoes.
Well, yeah, that's true, but you could put fucking hay.
That's what the barn is for. Yeah,
whatever. I still don't like it.
Fair enough. I mean, ghosts don't own things, so far as I know, so.
That's very true. Well, I mean, if they haunt a house, then it's kind of their house.
They kind of own things, yeah.
Because they can't get kicked out. But you could burn it down.
Right.
So, although that doesn't make any sense either, because then if however long it takes for you to become a ghost, by the time you came back, the house would no longer be where it was because the earth turns.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I just disproved ghosts, but not raven monsters. So everything was noisy and they didn't like it and they were getting really freaked out. They kept searching the whole house from top to bottom. There was a lot of searching. And then one day, Andreas lost his house keys, or as they said, the keys went missing. And apparently when you live in a remote place, getting keys is a big problem. So they were all freaked out that they didn't have the key. They were like, maybe the whatever was making the noise took the keys. Now I hope that somebody said, why would they need the keys? They're already in the house. Unless they're going to use the keys to lock us out and steal the house, we shouldn't really be worried about that, because even if we leave, they're here. but they probably didn't rationalize it that way because they were very poor and farmers, and they had a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old, and the father was probably still trying to bang the daughter, and the mother was too old to do anything or probably even care at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she's just fed up with shit.
Yep. She got nowhere to go. She's probably just laying there at night going, man, fuck that maid. Why didn't she take me with her? I would have gone to the big city, to Munich or Wangen. I could have been something in Wangen. Now, Cecilia, the 7-year-old, went missing. Just like the keys, she was gone. And everybody freaked the fuck out.
She gave her boyfriend the keys. Her boyfriend from town, so that he could sneak into the house at night and kill butt-faced molesty pants.
The 7-year-old did it?
Oh, I thought you said the 70-year-old one.
No, the 7-year-old. The granddaughter, okay. Not the grandmother. The granddaughter. Gotcha. She disappeared.
I retract my town boyfriend theory, please.
I don't know, though. It was 1922. I don't know.
Ugh.
So they freaked out, looking all over. I mean, they went into the woods and they found her. She was like, yeah, I don't know how I got here. And she, like, straight up, she didn't remember walking there. She didn't remember anything. They're all fucking weirded out by that. And then the weirdest part of this whole case happens. Because when they get back to the house, in the house is a newspaper that none of them bought, that they didn't subscribe to. There was just a rando fucking, like, if the Sacramento Bee was on your kitchen table when you came home, you would be alarmed.
That would be odd. As far as I know, Hubie does not subscribe to periodicals.
Mm-hmm. So that freaked him out. They were like, I don't like this. I do not want this newspaper. I also don't like the fact that it probably didn't just blow in here complete as a complete newspaper and just land on the table all perfectly put together.
Okay, see, now I'm irritated. Like, the murderer is an idiot, possibly. Like, oh, damn, I left my newspaper there while I was casing the joint.
Right.
Or he's deeply sinister and taunting people.
I mean, that's also possible.
Hmm.
Then another fucked up raven monster thing happens. Someone tries to break into their tool shed.
Okay.
There was a lock outside, and the metal had big gashes in it. Like they had, like, wanged on it with some other heavy metal thing. Now, they didn't get into it, but the thing that they all thought, like everybody in the family thought was weird was, well, how the fuck, like, we don't go anywhere. We don't even have a way to go anywhere. Are we going to ride a pig or a cow? We can't leave here. Why didn't we hear somebody banging on this shed with a fucking shovel or whatever it was? And none of them heard it.
So did the keys get found, by the way? Because obviously, they're not using him to get into the barn.
Well, they did have two sets of keys, but we'll get.
Okay, so maybe somebody just dropped the keys in the snow.
Could have been.
Okay,
that's very possible. And it's weird that you said snow because you.
It's March.
Yeah, I know, but you know,
we're not quite March yet.
You're wicked smart because the next weird thing that happens is Andreas in the beginning of March. There was a big snowstorm, and he gets up, and he opens up the door, and there's footprints in the snow that lead right to the door, but they don't turn around. Somebody walked through the snow to the door, and then either shot directly up into the sky, or there was a mini rapture, or they came in the house.
Well, they came in the house, so.
So he is 100%. Like, he, for a minute, he was like a normal person and not just a gross thing, because he woke everybody up and he's like, fucking, there might be somebody in the house. Everybody watch out. I don't know what you're going to do. Hey, 2-year-old kid, get up. Look around. He can't figure it out. Search the house again. The family says, yeah, no, it wasn't us because we were asleep. You know this because you woke us up. And then he was pretty smart about how he checked it. And there's a reason why we know all this stuff happened. It's not just shit we made up. By the way, if you're interested and you want to see a kind of half-assed representation of this, remember when lore was a big deal? I'm Aaron Mankey.
I do. And then they sold it to Amazon, and then I stopped being intrigued.
They did it in the second season. There were only two seasons of it, but they did this story in the second season. They didn't do a very good job. I didn't think. But anyway, he goes all around the house to say, okay, well, are there any footsteps coming out of the windows or the other door or any place? Basically, unless Danny fucking Torrance came and then walked backwards back the way he had come from, there's no way that they can't be in the house. And the house was big, but it wasn't that big. They tore it apart. Then he walked the footprints to see where they started, and they kind of started in the woods, and then they stopped.
Okay.
Like, the thing fell out of a tree and said, I'm going to go right to this door, and then something else. But we don't know what the something else was.
I don't want to, like, shiza on your bird theory, but they very much don't wear boots, so...
Or, they don't wear boots, but they could carry a corpse and flap and plunk their feet in the snow as they went along, which would be the only, and then bring them back up into the sky. So, take that.
You're a fascinating man, Acadia. I would love to do shrooms with you.
They're at their wit's end. They don't know what to do. They're mad. They didn't believe the maid. It's all sorts of horror there. The little granddaughter is the incest baby, and the two-year-old will come up in a minute.
Is he also an incest baby?
Well,
spoilers.
Well, no, so we don't... It gets weird.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure about the, you know, I don't want to, like, mess with the show format. I'm trying to keep my mouth shut. I really am.
There isn't really a format. Other than me doing the cold open, I used to solve the cases at the end, but...
Oh, good, because I solved it, but I'll wait till the end.
Yeah. He went to his neighbor, Lawrence...
Schittenbauer.
Yeah. But there's an L in there.
Oh, excuse me.
I don't want there to be an L because Schittenbauer is funnier, but.
Wasn't that the name of the roller coaster that killed that kid?
I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't. It probably wasn't. I'll look it up. Schlitterbahn. Never mind.
I wouldn't ride on the Schlittenbauer.
Please continue.
he was the closest neighbor.
Okay. But in like farm world, how many miles away is that?
Far enough so that like I wouldn't.
Can you walk there, though?
Yeah, it's walk.
Okay.
Yeah, because, again, can't ride the pig. It was close enough so that they could see the houses, but, like, it's farm vision.
Good to know.
Oh, by the way, just so everybody knows, Lauren Schlittenbauer, his first wife died, and he wanted to marry Victoria.
But she's in love with her dad, so that's going to be awkward.
Is she?
I mean, probably not. No, but, like... How, for that person involved in the incest, do you separate, like, poor use of Stockholm syndrome on my part? I know, but that, you know, whatever.
Trauma bonded.
She's trauma bonded to her dad, so that's not going to work out.
Well, the one that put the kibosh on it was Andreas. He's like, no, you can't marry her.
Yeah, I bet so. I'm busy making incest babies.
Right, because that's my thing to do, and you're not doing it. Schlittenbauer.
Also, like, Schlittenbauer's got to be too old for Victoria, too, I would assume.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
I mean, I don't know.
Also, Lauren is a girl's name. That's the least of my quarrels, but I just, you know, yeah.
Fair enough. He tells him, all right, well, look. And he gives him the whole rundown of everything. This place is all fucking fucked up, and I don't know what to do. Now, Schlittenbauer, we'll go back to him when we get to... the part of the story where we start going, well, I wonder what happened. But for now, just know there was talk that the two-year-old was his baby.
Ah, okay.
And they don't know for sure.
Fair enough.
There's also some type of, hey, family that already went to jail for incest once. If anybody asks, I'll say... that it's my baby, but you guys have to give me money.
Right.
So a little incest extortion.
So he was paying child support for that kid, correct? Or there has been information that implied that he was? Because I did do a little reading about this.
Yeah, but yes, but also it might have been the other way around because there's some people that say it wasn't his kid. That was also the father, the grandfather's kid, and he was just doing it. So that...
out of perhaps unrequited love for Victoria? Okay.
And also because he was like, well, you're going to go back to incest jail if I don't say it's my kid.
Yeah.
So that may have been what happened. But all he says to him that day, because of apparently, I mean, all this shit had already happened by the time he goes, well, I'm a fuck. Like when Andrea says, well, I'm a fucking monster, but the only person that I can go to is the guy I screwed over and wouldn't let him marry my daughter, which doesn't even make any sense to me now, because then I wouldn't have to feed her or her kids because they would live over there.
Right. But also no access for sex. So priorities.
Fair enough.
Plus, like, they're cattle farmers. There is food. They're not, like, yeah, hard up in that way, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, I suppose.
Plus, they can pay a maid. So I don't think money is a concern unless they're greedy.
Maybe they paid her in cheese.
Maybe. But, I mean, like, I wouldn't take that job. I'm not taking care of a kid for no damn cheese.
It's the best Hinterkaifeck cheese around.
Do the Germans make good cheese? Munster is a terrible cheese.
So. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Who makes probably Havarti? Not. Is that the Italians? The Italians make the best cheese.
I think it might be the Havartans.
The Havartans. The Havartians.
All of France by saying that the Italians make the best cheese.
Come at me, French people. Your Parmesan, cheese is weird and smelly.
Parmesan, good cheese. Mozzarella.
Is that French?
No, I'm jumping on the Italian bandwagon now.
Mozzarella, excellent cheese. Havarti sounds Italian. Great cheese.
Yep.
Mascarpone, good cheese.
So, all right. Well, now that we've settled that.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. You're fitting right in. Tangents are part of our enriching traditions.
Cheese.
Yes, cheese traditions. Loren says, well, listen, Andreas. I got a lot of rifles at my house. Now, I don't know if he said it like that, like waggling his eyebrows, like maybe I'll just take all my rifles and shoot all the people at your house that I don't want to fuck. But he did say.
As one does, you know.
So he did say, all right, well, if you want to take one of my rifles and shoot the invisible snowman and the newspaper reading key thief, then be my guest, because just blasting away is sometimes a good idea. And Andreas was like, nah, I don't want to. I'm sure I'm just overreacting. And then the ghost footprints and the newspaper thing and all the tapping in the walls doesn't mean it.
Yeah, and he, like, didn't want help from police either, this Andreas guy, possibly just because of the, like, further evidence of incest that's going to come up if he lets people, like, come poke around the house too much. Like, that fucking two-year-old looks a lot like...
Why does your two-year-old have a handlebar mustache just like yours?
Did he just call you Daddy Grandpa? You know. Yeah, so maybe he just doesn't like the authorities. Whatever.
Could be. Don't trust the cops. All right, I'll agree with him in that. Fair. One thing, I'll agree with him. Not for his reasoning, but still.
Right, exactly.
Then they get a little ray of sunshine.
The incest baby?
A new maid.
Oh.
Incest is legalized in Germany.
All babies are blessings, people say. Not some of the ones I've met, but you know. Yeah,
for sure. The new maid shows up. She's like, hi, I work here now. Where's the cheese? I was promised cheese. And they're like, oh, well, this is great. Here's all the horrible chores you'll have to do. Don't mind the tapping in the walls. That's just...
the ghost.
Our dad's dick. Or the ghost.
Yeah, it's an incest boner.
Neither one is not great. Don't worry, because since you're not related to him, you're more than likely safe. And it was March 31st, 1922. And they're like, okay, well, here's where you sleep. Blah, blah, blah. Everybody go to bed. Except nobody knows exactly 100%. They know that that's when the maid arrived, because there were train tracks kind of near the farm, which is a thing.
And her sister dropped her off. So, like, that is at least confirmed. Unless the sister's in on the whole fucking thing and she's lying, which would be fascinating.
Wow, that would be wild.
This is just a whole damn thing.
I'm really Andreas's niece.
Okay, I will have two balls to the wall theories at the end of the show, like one official theory.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Because now it's time for what happened, and here's what they think. One by one, and we're going to figure out how any of this occurred after, but I will just relate what happened first. The family, one by one, goes out to the barn. I don't know what was out there, you know. Oh, I hear carnival music, or I smell popcorn, or something else that would obviously lure
cheese.
Four of them go out to the barn, right, one at a time.
The mom, the dad, the daughter, and the seven-year-old. The four.
Yes, yes. Yeah. They all got blasted in the head by what Americans call a mattock. There's actually another word for it in German. It's like called like a it's like a ruho. It's sort of like a pickaxe.
A head in smashing.
A noggin knocker.
Yeah.
They get just smashed in the fucking melon with this big iron thing. By the way,
Google it. It will bum you out.
It was theirs, which also he couldn't get into the tool shed. So how did he get it? Did Andreas forget and not put his tool away, his noggin smasher away at the end of the day? Because now it's on him.
Maybe they kept it in the barn.
No, I guess.
Maybe there was one just laying in the barn, you know?
I guess. The maid, who was a sound sleeper, and the two-year-old, who was a fucking two-year-old, they never went out to the barn.
Right.
So the raven monster's plan of, I'm going to kill one, then I'm going to drag him over in the corner and put hay on him so that the next one that comes in that smells the popcorn doesn't know that whoever came in first is dead. And then I'm going to kill them and I'm going to keep doing it until they all come in. Well, the maid and the two-year-old fucked that up. So he had to go in the house and drive the fucking thing through their heads in their beds.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, probably better, especially for the little one.
Yeah, my hope is that they didn't even wake up.
Right. If my head's going to get fucking caved in by a fucking,
I don't want to see it coming.
Pickaxe. Yeah. That's not a thing anybody needs. That's what they say happened on the 31st. And then time passes. One day, 2 day, 3 days. Maybe they were all Jesus. Nope, none of them came back. Not Jesus. 4 days. On the fourth day, a guy came to fix some shit on the farm. Because they had some kind of machine. It was a feeding machine. I don't know. It shot corn out at the pigs or something.
Cows,
whatever. They had some pigs too, probably. That's how they got to town. They rode the pigs. Anyway, he goes to the house, repair mankin, and they don't answer the door. And he looks inside, and the lights are on, and the dog's inside barking at him. And he's like, well, why don't they answer the door? It's a fucking farm. Where are they going to go? They got nowhere to go. Rude. And it's almost like they had again gone 100 years into the future and they were at my house and somebody knocked on the door, which I will never, ever answer.
Samesies.
Unless I know who it is ahead of time. Because guess what? I don't need any fucking tree estimates.
Roof replaced, windows replaced.
Sons of bitches. So he says, well, you know what? Fuck this. I don't need them to fix the thing. I'm going to fix it. I'll get paid either way, I assume. So he goes off and fixes the thing. When he's done fixing it, he goes back to tell him, look, I fixed your thing, you rude fuckers. And it took me a while. So maybe you're done, I don't know, laying around with your balls out, which is why you didn't let me in the first place. And the dog was out now. And he's like, all right, you fuckers, I know you're in there because you let the dog out. Why won't you acknowledge me? I'm a man. I did work for you and nothing. So he's like, well, I'm going to go over to the neighbors, to old Schlittenbauer's house, and say, hey, buddy, I just want to let you know that I fixed your neighbor's fucking feed machine and they won't talk to me. So if they ask, tell them I fixed it, which I guess they'd probably know because it was fixed, but whatever. He just wanted somebody to know that he had been there. So Schlittenbauer was like, yeah, no problem. I'll go away, worker man. But I'm going to go over and check on him because it doesn't make any sense that they didn't answer the door. But maybe they thought you were a monster and but they know me, so I'll go. And he didn't find anybody. Then there's some shit that goes on because he gets some other people involved and they break into the barn. The house is locked. They break into the barn. When they break into the barn, they have to break. Now, think about this. They got to break into the barn.
Right, which means it's been relocked after the murders.
After all the murders. And they find those bodies, and they're like, holy shit. And they're like, well, now we got to go look in the house because there's two people that are unaccounted for. And fucking Schlittenbauer unlocks the door with a key.
Interesting. Slip of mind there.
Yeah.
So does he have the missing set of keys? Obviously he does.
There's a lot of question marks.
No, so I give my neighbor my keys. Yeah.
Well, you do sometimes. So one of the people went to Wangen and told the mayor. And they got the cops, and then the cops from Munich came, you know, and there was probably a bunch of, you know, I'm in charge. And here's what they found. Little Cazilia Gabrielle, her lower jaw was shattered.
Mm.
She had a neck injury because of shock. She had been hit several times. Her neck had a big giant wound in it. On the right side of her face was a round wound.
Hmm.
And in her hand were pieces of hair. And it turned out that it was her own hair. And the cops determined that she was the only one that didn't die instantly. But they think that she was hit first and
knocked out or something.
Well, whatever it was, whether she watched the rest of the family get killed or she was just in so delirious with pain, she pulled her own hair out of her head.
Aww.
So that's not great. The oldest lady, she had bruising near her right eye. She got hit in the head 7 times. One of them was a triangle. Her skull was cracked and apparently a little bit strangled.
Okay. This is the 70-year-old lady.
The 70-year-old. Now, Victoria, the 35-year-old, the mom, the one in the middle,
mm-hmm.
she had 9, quote, star-shaped wounds in her head and kind of strangled, and the right side of her face was smashed in, and she had a small round injury of a pointed tool on the top of her head, and her skull was smashed.
Okay.
The maid, who was in her bed, she got killed by sideways swings of the thing. Like, didn't go straight down, so that wasn't great for her. The 2-year-old, one big shot with the thing right in the face. So hopefully he never woke up.
Yeah. Now, they never found the murder weapon, correct?
Correct.
So, could have been different things that were used on, you know, who knows.
Well, the strangling is weird, too. And then the old man, his face was smashed in, and his cheekbones were sticking out of his cheeks because his skin was off.
I mean, like, his head was just pulverized. I'm kind of looking at a crime scene photo here, and I can't see much of a head, but this is a bad angle.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to the heads, too. So, they were super dead, and when the cops got there, of course, the fucking dumb townies had been fucking flonking all over everything and poking them with sticks and shit like that. And apparently, Victoria, the middle, the daughter, not the grandkids, the daughter, she had been in her nightgown, and the townies decided that they should put clothes on her because it would be more dignified.
Yeah.
Because that's what you want in a crime scene. Other clothes.
People, like, cooked shit in the kitchen and just in various ways totally fucked this shit up. I know they say that the person who murdered people also did that, but they say that, you know, people were going in and out of this crime scene all over the place, having beers in the kitchen or doing whatever.
Yep.
Because it's 1922.
Fair point. They're like, all right, well, we got to figure out who did this. Now, I don't know how they figured out that it had happened 4 days before, but the cops were super, super, super sure.
Right, because I'm thinking, like, it's cold. Decay is slowed by lower temperatures. They're out in the barn. It's 1922. Then again, they do say that the maid arrived. Of course, some people could have been dead when the maid arrived.
I mean, technically.
And somebody else made an excuse, but I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I guess the timeline is just because of that.
Yeah.
But
so there's another weird part.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they fucking hit her. One victim had a piece of mail that couldn't possibly have been delivered.
Yeah.
Except on that day, jammed in their eyeball. And they said, okay, well, that's weird. Because if they weren't there because they were dead, and the cops had no fucking idea what to do. They interviewed over 100 people. Basically, they interviewed everybody within like 20 miles because that was the only thing they could do. And there were plenty of people that said, no, they were there. Because guess what? The cows weren't freaking out because they hadn't been milked, and all the animals weren't screaming because they hadn't been fed, And we saw smoke coming out of the chimney. And when the townies got there, they thought because there was the fucking stove was hot and there was stuff out, they thought that it had just happened because the house was so not abandoned. And so the cops were like, well, this is kind of fucked, because when the guy came, regardless of when whether it was 4 days or not, they were definitely 100% dead when the feed guy came. So who let the fucking dog out? And nobody knew.
Right.
And basically everything was pointing to our boy, Lawrence Schlittenbauer. They really, really thought that it was going to be Schlittenbauer. Because why did he have the key? So there's a bunch of things they think might have.
I should just say that the neighbor is my plausible theory.
Okay, that's fair.
You know.
That is fair. The town definitely thought it was him.
Yeah.
And they had their reason.
Sure.
They knew that he had disturbed the bodies at the scene.
So my thought is that he can call someone out to the barn without it being immediately suspected. Because, like, if a stranger is calling you out to the barn, you're not going to go. But if your neighbor says, oh my God, so-and-so collapsed in the barn, come quickly, kersmash. Oh my God, so-and-so also collapsed in the barn, come quickly. Yeah. Adult tells 7-year-old, because I think there's a certain order that this probably happened in. You take out the man, stronger than her mom, then you take out her mom, then you take out the 7-year-old. Yeah. So, you know, it just seems plausible that he could do that. He could relock the barn after it's done. He could also go in and feed the animals because he has the keys. And then he, like, sent his sons instead of going over there himself to go look at everything that had gone on.
It's true. But
so
I misspoke in one piece, because when he went to get the townies, they had to break into the barn.
Mm-hmm.
But he went into the house alone.
Who did? Schlittenbauer?
Schlittenbauer. Okay.
But he did send his sons to go see if anybody was at the house.
Yes.
Interestingly, one of his sons is also named Joseph, just like the little boy who was killed.
He says that they were like, well, why would you go into the house when you didn't know if the murderer was there or not? And he said, I was looking for my son. But which son did he mean?
Ah, ha, ha, ha.
Was it the son that he sent or the 2-year-old? Which could have been his. Then in the weirdest fucking part, there was a teacher in 1925... In a flurry of good taste, after all the investigations were done and everything like that, the town was like, demolish this fucking farm, leave no fucking trace of it because of all the terrible things that happened here, and put up a monument. And that's what's there to this day, is a monument to the family. Except in 1925, a local guy saw Schlittenbauer wandering around the demolished farm. And so the guy was like, hey, what are you doing over here, Schlittenbauer and whatever? And he said, for some reason, you know, whoever killed him tried to bury him in the barn, but they couldn't because the ground was too frozen. Okay, one, why?
So looking at the crime scene photos, they're like stuffed in piles of hay. They didn't try very hard. Also, just to play devil's advocate, not that the devil needs one, I say out-of-pocket shit like that all the time because I watch too many crime shows. Not in response to somebody asking me why I'm visiting a memorial, to be fair, but like, you know, if somebody's like, oh, such and such criminal did this weird thing, and I'm like, oh, yeah, well, they were probably concerned about the level of decomp at such and such amount, you know, like, just not that true crime enthusiasts probably existed in 1925, but, you know, again, just devil's advocating.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
He sued more than once for slander because everybody kept telling him that he killed them all, and he won. But that didn't matter because, I mean, OJ got away with it, so
here's whatever. A handy-dandy lesson from Hannah's wholly unqualified legal corner. Libel is written. Slander is spoken. Please remember the difference when you're making stupid comments on Twitter.
That's right. Well said. But now they have that audio thing, so technically you can slander someone on Twitter now. Just upload a little
voice to text, you know.
Yeah.
Or voice chat, rather.
So I went way too far and translated old police reports from the time.
Hell yes.
So in 1931, they determined that Schlittenbauer had acknowledged paternity of Joseph and saved Gruber and the daughter from incest jail, like we mentioned before.
Right.
But that his he probably only consented because he had been promised that he'd get to marry the daughter. But they didn't get to. He had to not marry the daughter. So then he was mad, and then he was like, well, fuck you then. I want money. And the Grubers were super, super cheap. And they think maybe he decided that he was going to get the money by extorting them, which we had talked about, and that didn't work. And they say in the report, so the horrible act seems to me to be explicable. It may have been triggered by an event that is still unknown today, or perhaps a conversation with Victoria Gabrielle, who was probably the first to be killed, according to the facts report. So she would have been theoretically the strongest. Okay. So that fits your theory.
Fair enough, my slight estimation was off. Huh? I thought dad first, because man strength, but...
Though not every detail of the foregoing can be substantiated by a definite statement, I think I may say that there is much probability in this account. This would also make it understandable why the anger of the perpetrator even vented itself on the small child with such violence. The impression that it was much more an act of revenge than a robbery was always predominant. In any case, one thing seems certain to me. Schlittenbauer did not consider himself to be the father of the child.
Okay.
So he insists that it wasn't his kid, which that kind of folds in on itself too then, because when he said he was looking for Joseph in the house, his son, he must have meant the other son. Not mm-hmm. to mention the fact that he had his own family at his own farm.
Mm-hmm.
And this wasn't fucking Three's Company where Jack goes on two dates on the at the same time and has to keep running back from table to table. He couldn't do a whole farm of things and then run over and do another farm where everyone was dead, because that's even more work.
Right.
And his family said, no, he wasn't being...
philandering.
Yeah. He didn't just keep going, oh, well, I really have the shits. I got to go. And then like go over and do 2 hours worth of chores at the other farm. So that was his big alibi. But now from the cold open, the farmer Michael Pohl, who lived nearby, years later, apparently Schlittenbauer had asthma. And
interesting.
He was...
Now, Michael Pohl is one of the people that went over to the crime scene.
Yeah.
First.
He was just he was a townie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Schlittenbauer was just looking out his window, staring over at the where the farm had been. And... since he was wheezing so much, Paul asked him, you know, how your condition is going. And he said, putting his hands over his hand over his lungs or his heart, it would still work if it weren't up there. And he pointed to Hinterkaifeck. So if he was talking about his heart not working, then he was heartbroken. But that doesn't necessarily mean he was the one that broke it, because he...
Yeah, maybe he's just sad that the lady died. Yeah.
Right. That's kind of everything except for the suspects. And the suspects...
Can I do my one balls to the wall theory?
You do, yes, 100%.
Okay. Husband didn't really die in World War One. Comes back to the farm. Whatever. Finds either that the rumor that What's-Her-Face had gotten with the neighbor and produced a child... refuses to go with him because she's like in weird incestuous love with her dad. Something goes wrong. Family annihilator, revenge killing, crime of passion, etc.
I then love
he
it.
He runs off to wherever. The Soviet love Union. It. Who the hell knows? But like, surely they didn't necessarily... I mean, like, lots of people died in World War One and World War Two. I'm doing finger quotes around died. They could have deserted. He could have, like, defected. He could have just straight up gone AWOL, whatever. Like, it doesn't say that they ever got his body back in, like, any of the minimum amount of, like, research I've done, which isn't very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. He did it. Took on a new identity. Nobody's got social security numbers yet. I mean, it probably would be pretty easy to do.
Yep.
The fact that he, like, killed everybody, to me, says it's either somebody who's, like, I mean, you have to be, like, a rando. Which is my other, you know, kind of theory. And now I've just turned it into like incest revenge ring kind of thing.
What? But, so,
or, you know, everybody.
It's.
And then you gotta kill the baby that your wife made with somebody else. And then you got to kill the maid because, you know, she's going to see everything.
No witnesses, even though she was dead asleep the whole time and wouldn't have known him from Adam. He was on the list.
Oh, okay.
You're
good.
Right. See,
there's a guy.
He was 100% on the list because supposedly he had been killed in France by a shell attack in December of 1914. But his body was never recovered.
He had amnesia. And then he suddenly remembered.
Yep. Maybe he came. Maybe he finally walked back from war, right, found his way back to the farm and went, well, I can do math. There's no way that's my kid. Actually, neither of them are probably my kid.
Oh, that's right.
Well, now
right.
I'm mad.
Neither of them are his.
Right. So he's probably super, super pissed.
Yeah.
Although I did read conflicting things that maybe the first one was his and then the other one wasn't, but it doesn't.
Also, maybe he has like a term in a, or what, a TBI. Those can make you like really angry-ish.
Very true. Very true. I mean, the fucking term they use for people that were all fucked up from the war was shell shock. Like, oh, yeah. You know what you need? Opium. After the Second World War, there were some captives, German soldiers, that got released by the Soviets, and they said that they had been let go by a Soviet officer who spoke German, who said that he was the murderer at Hinterkaifeck.
The Soviet is the husband. Case closed.
They're like, well, maybe that was him because maybe he didn't die. Maybe he fucking walked to Russia. I don't know how that would have happened, but their testimony was later sort of discredited because they changed his story or whatever like that. But he was one of them.
Shell shock.
Yeah. I'm going to read some of these names, but I'm not going to really do a lot on them. Just the Gump brothers is a funny name.
Love that.
Yep. The Gumps.
Wait, does that mean Gump is a German name?
Apparently.
Color me surprised.
Their sister said that on her deathbed, the brothers Adolf and Anton Gump came in and said, hey, yeah, we know you're about to die, but we killed them at the farm. And
well, I don't know a lot of people named Adolf who didn't kill a lot of people.
Fair enough. Then she fucked them by not dying and instead calling the cops, and they went to jail, but then they got loose because they're like, we can't fucking prove any of this.
Oh, I forgot my other one thing about the husband being the murderer. They found like a penknife in the attic or something.
So,
and it could have been a trench knife, which is a standard issue World War I weapon for German soldiers. But it also doesn't appear that it was really used in the killings. So I guess that doesn't matter all that much.
Well, in 1971, a woman named Teresa
wrote
a letter talking about something that happened when she was a kid. When she was 12, her mother received a visit from the mother of these two brothers, Carl and Andreas, but a different Andreas.
Okay.
And that the mother said her sons did all the killings at Hinterkaifeck, and that Andreas lost his penknife. When the farm was knocked down in 1923, a penknife was found that they couldn't assign to anybody. Like, they didn't know whose it was. And so they thought it might be a lead, but the original maid, the one who quit because of the ghost, who was right the whole time, she said, yeah, no, I saw that penknife.
Oh, okay. So maybe Andreas just left it in the attic while he was masturbating up there.
To all the fucking holes he drilled in the fucking ceiling. Ugh.
Right.
There was another guy that said that they were going to kill him for money. The whole money thing, the cop's original theory was that, well, obviously, you know, people came from the train tracks and they killed him because they were going to rob him. And then they realized, well, we can get a few nights sleep in here and everything like that. But apparently there was just oodles of poorly hidden money in the farmhouse that was never taken. So it didn't have anything to do with robbing them.
So I'm like on the Wikipedia page now. What's with all the suspected murderous brother teams in fucking
Germany?
They're
all Germany? Brothers. Like, what the hell? Yep.
That's just weird. I love my brothers, but like, we don't do that yet. Like, what's up with that? So many possible pairs of siblings that could have murdered an entire family.
Yeah, I can't. My brother and I can't fucking accomplish. The only thing my brother and I would have been good at was The Amazing Race.
Ooh.
We would have been good at that.
All of my brothers and I are too shy to talk to anyone in foreign countries. So, wouldn't have been so great.
Well, see, he would be the map guy and I would have been the talkie guy.
Fair enough.
Now, I'm going to bring up this last one because it's a case that we're going to end up doing. And Sandwich was really, really into this case. You know, the Vasilla Axe murders?
Yes.
Okay. So the guy that wrote The Man from the Train is convinced that there's a guy named Paul Muller who did all these murders, including the Vasilla Axe, and that the reason that they couldn't catch him...
Mueller is a German last name.
Yes. And he kept just taking the train, and then he'd get off the train in a different place and kill somebody else. It was like the Cleveland Torso murderer, although that was kind of in reverse, because he would take trains, and then when he came back, like he would just take people off the trains and kill them, I think. But the okay,
I think
this
the Cleveland
guy,
Torso murderer was actually several people, but that's for another time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. So he kind of thinks that the guy went to Germany to kill, which... I don't know why, except that the motives match up.
Maybe people were catching on to him in Germany, and then he went to the U.S., but then people were catching on to him in the U.S., and so we went back to Germany.
Could be.
Were there other families murdered by axes or, like, whatever in Germany before Hinterkaifeck?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I mean, I think that they
but
probably
I bet
either...
you that the guy who wrote The Man from the Train might know.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to read that. So that kind of an off the
okay,
wall.
I like that one. I dig that.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I like that a hell of a lot better than that fucking, the dude that's like the great, great something grandson of H.H. Holmes, who's now trying to milk the, oh, he's really Jack the Ripper too, you know? No, he's not. No, he's not. He's
Queen's
not.
Private surgeon.
Yeah, but he's literally trying to make hay out of H.H. Holmes as Jack the Ripper. Makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
Also, come on with the murder genetic thing. Like, nature-nurture debate. Whatever. Anyway.
About the heads.
Right. Skulls.
As part of the police procedure, they cut them all off.
Yes.
They said, okay, heads, here you go. You're coming off, and we're going to send you to the lab. But also, we're going to...
It was more or less like half a watermelon full of, you know...
Fair.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether really... Whether phrenology was included in what they were sending them out for, but at least one part of it was psychics. They're like,
no,
well, we got to send the heads.
Come on.
I swear. We got to send the heads to the psychics because reasons. And what with all the hubbub of World War II, they lost them.
I'm sorry. That's not funny, but it's funny.
It is funny. Why didn't they send him back? Why didn't...
Okay, maybe the crime scene photos I'm looking at then are after they've removed the heads from the Hinterkaifeck victims to send off to, like, Mama Dusseldorf or whatever the name of the psychic is.
I guess.
I don't know. One lady still said it, whatever. That's so stupid.
And they lost him. And I don't know why they would have still had him. Do your investigation and then send him back.
Okay, seriously, those are in someone's private collection somewhere, I swear to God.
That, it's funny. Mrs. Axe said the exact same thing.
Like, for real, some eccentric person has those.
They're in a bunch of jars. That's where they are.
They're going to end up at the freaking, what's that awesome museum in Pennsylvania? The Mutter, at some point.
The Mutter Museum? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oy. This case, and you weren't on last week, obvi.
I was in spirit.
Yes, you were. And so we did the Al-Kite story about the guy that did the murder and then stayed in the house for a while. And then this one was do the murder, stay in the house for a while. Theoretically, the best motive I have right now is a guy who really wanted to play farm because that's genuinely all he did. He didn't steal the money.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he went to farm fantasy camp for a weekend.
Right.
And here... I'll tell you two other things. One that's really fucking weird, and then one that's kind of stupid.
Okay.
The weird one is the cops, and I could not find why the cops were so sure that they were killed on the 31st, but they were. Calendar in the house was torn off to April 1st.
Okay.
And they don't know if it was the killer. Why did he just do it that day and not the other days?
Maybe someone just got a little ahead of themselves. Like,
maybe.
Sometimes you do that.
That's an April Fool's trick to make people think it's April Fool's before April Fool's.
I mean, I changed our calendar to May on, like, April 26th, but I didn't kill anybody. So.
That's because you're racing towards stress at top speed.
It's what I do. You know.
Now here,
when will it end? Maybe if I flip the calendar to May.
In In 2007, some German students from the police academy at Fürstenfeldbruck were told, you investigate this case and use all of our modern fucking items and figure shit out. And they were like, all right, well, we've done our investigation and there's no fucking way we're going to be able to solve it because there's a bunch of shit missing, including the heads, or they never took it. Plus, they put extra clothes on one of the victims and they walked all over everything and they fucking wrecked it. However, they did think that there was one person that they really liked as the suspect, but they didn't name them because that person still had living relatives. And they didn't say that they proved it, but that they were very, very, very confident in that.
Okay, but what does that do for me, the consumer?
How does it help Barry get ahead?
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. It's all sealed up.
Boo. Boo and also hiss.
Yeah, it's bad. And the whole not sending the heads back made me think of something else I found this week. Here's a little treat for you. You know how giving your body to science is a good thing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, donate your shit.
You're not using it.
They should make it a law that you have to check off a box to say you specifically don't want your organs donated. Because it's just like terms and conditions. Nobody will read it.
Yeah, I want to go to a body farm. Anyway.
Here's what they don't tell you, because you don't read it when you sign it. They don't want all of it. They want the parts they want. Guess what they do with the rest of it?
Incinerate it?
They mail it the fuck back to you.
Oh.
There was a woman.
Like, you just ashes, though, I assume, because, like.
No. Crazy. Whoa.
I don't want my feet. I mean, I'm dead.
This is what I'm saying. She said her mother had this really rare brain cancer, and she donated her body to science, but she was not doing great when it happened, and she just signed everything. And all they wanted was her brain. They were like, we don't need the rest of this shit. Whatever, send it back. And it was probably on fucking Reddit, but apparently this is a thing, and they're like, oh yeah, no, it could be anywhere from 3 to 6 months, and then someday you're just going to get a fucking package. That doesn't seem right.
No, and also, like, is it embalmed? Because, like, I often leave packages on my porch for many hours in the hot, hot North Carolina sun.
My boss, my old boss, when I worked at the travel place.
The funny one?
Crazy one? Yeah, the funny one. He decided that it was going to be the greatest fucking idea in the world because we were in Maine. That he was going to send all of our fucking vendors lobsters.
Stinky
were always
porch
sent.
Lobster.
Yes, because they're always sent live because you have to cook them when they're alive. And lots of people were away. And when they came back, they were not happy to have
a stinky porch lobster.
Yes. On their porch. So that kind of that kind of backfired.
Oh, stinky porch, grandma. Like, come on. This is a terrible idea.
That is Hinterkaifeck. Now, I didn't hear anything throughout that entire thing that eliminates my vote. For
giant crow monster. Perhaps whoever acted was a human in thrall of the crow monster for whatever reason.
Crop.
Yeah, that's what happens when you look at the cloaca. You are compelled to commit family murders. Yeah.
That could be. Really thinking about it.
It's got to be a random person. Like,
but then why didn't they take the money?
Mental disturbances that happen when murders are committed. Like the ones that we understand, so-and-so was cheating on me, so I killed them. The ones that like make sense but aren't relatable. Like I'm a serial killer who is compelled to act in such and such a way and I do it the same way every time and there's a cooling off period, whatever. We understand that. We don't empathize with it, but we understand it. And then there's like the, you know, Vampire of California guy who's just like absolutely off the wall, off his mental shit, who just like decides to do crazy nonsense because mental disturbance of whatever type, you know, I want to be a farmer and also to kill people, but only for like 4 days. And then I'm going to move on to, you know, whatever other thing.
But if the cops believe that the guy was there for months.
Yeah. I mean, because of the right hanging around the town.
Right.
I suppose then there's the fourth kind of thing where there is a murderer so calculated and good at what they do, kind of like with your previous case guy.
The Al-Qaeda thing, yep.
That they plan it meticulously, know exactly what to do, get away with it, and do something else later and are never caught.
Yep.
Which almost happened with the Golden State Killer in a way.
Yep.
Not that he was like this insane mastermind, but he was able to do what he did for the amount of time that he did it and then be done.
Yep.
And unfortunately, 1922 is so far outside of the windows or and the ways in which our technology has progressed to be able to catch the Golden State Killer that like we don't have anything from this crime scene that our modern technology would now benefit. So, you know, I guess that's probably maybe the most plausible theory is that it's some sort of killer who was so good at what he did, planned it so carefully and did so on purpose.
Right.
That, you know, it will never be solved conclusively. And it won't. It's 100 years old at this point.
Yeah, it won't. It's not going to get solved. Unless there's some written confession that everybody goes, oh, no, wait, that guy totally lived there and he would have known that. You know what I mean? Unless there's something that's documented. The North Star that Strangeful Things follows regarding murders is everyone that you just described is the fourth kind, because most murders are committed for money, sex, or revenge. Mm-hmm. Those are the I'm not a murderer, but I'm going to murder someone murders.
Right.
The I'm a crazy murderer ones are all the ones in your group, and this certainly falls into that. Although, if it was the neighbor who was mad that he couldn't bang the daughter, then it would have been sex.
Yeah.
So, where does this leave us? 2 weeks in a row with weird, I'm going to stay in the house. The first episode ever with Hannah Selector. You should see how she's grinning, folks. She's so happy. This is like the best thing she's done in so long.
I super love this kind of stuff. I mean, this is the stuff that I read on Wikipedia when I'm not, you know, having existential dread. So
that's right. It's really one or the other. You're like Two-Face. It's either I'm going to read about murders or be freaking out.
Yeah, murders, terrible genetic aberrations. That stuff makes me feel calm.
Yep.
Making phone calls or like having to organize financial stuff, that fills me with absolute dread. So,
well, I'm glad
I support your murder crow theory. You know, groups of them are called murders. It just makes sense.
That's right. That's right.
Don't and look into the giant German monster bird's eyes or wings or cloaca.
Nope, none of them.
Yeah.
And don't run across the Feldgeister. I don't know what it is, but it doesn't sound good.
Sounds like bad news.
But a Belsnickel? They're probably fun and they just tickle you.
I still want the cat thing that is a snake. That sounds adorable.
Oh, the off hawker? No, that's the off hawker is the one that jumps on your back. It's the tassel worm. The tassel worm is the one that has the cat face, yeah.
So cute.
So, everybody, I'm going to have to update the allmylinks.com/strangefulthings to put Hannah's Twitter on there. But for now, you can get her at Hannah Selector. Everything else, you can go to allmylinks.com/strangefulthings. And now, generally, Shuey says, keep on flapping before he leaves. But you can say whatever you want. But I want to say that I am very, very happy that you were here. This was very awesome. And I hope we get to do it again without having to inflict a terrible disease on Chewie.
Oh, everybody's grackles, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And so fell companions.
I'm just going to say I hope you all find something shiny this week.
Bye-bye.